A couple weeks ago, received a message from a high school classmate. Next year will be my 30th year high school reunion. There's a pic of my high school. I'm that one up there, you know, third from the top, second picture. That's my senior pic. Some say I still look the same. I'm a few pounds heavier. Looking forward to reconnecting with some of my high school classmates. I've remained in close contact with many of my high school friends back in Buffalo. We connected through our Facebook page. We have a reunion Facebook page, social media platform, and we've been able to share messages and share stories and stay connected. Some of my classmates still live in Buffalo. Some live in North Carolina and California. Some live in Texas and Florida, Ohio, and Kentucky. Sadly, some of my classmates from my 30-year class, or class of 92 from Hutchinson Central Technical High School. Sadly, some of my classmates have passed away. I think we have about 12 or 13 classmates who have passed away from various diseases, some in car accidents. But Facebook has been a great way to stay in touch with my friends from school, and many of you probably have some of the same experience. Quite frankly, those of you who have had reunions in the past, like pre-Facebook, I don't know how you did it. How did you stay in touch? How did you, like, Facebook is just so much easier to connect and send messages, and folks that you haven't heard from. There's somebody on Facebook that heard from somebody who we haven't heard from a while. Not only has Facebook allowed, like, classmates to stay connected, and other social media platforms, there are plenty. These social media platforms have created opportunities for relationships that no one thought possible. I don't know about the relationship profile of those of you on Facebook, but I have friends that live on every continent except for Antarctica. I am connected to family members that live all over the world. I am connected to college classmates, former coworkers, friends I grew up with on Herman Street in Buffalo. I'm connected to friends I got into trouble with. I'm connected to ministry colleagues from all over the world. Facebook has been a blessing and a curse. As much joy as I have received from connecting with people from all stages in my life, Facebook has also been a place and platform that has served as a source of heartburn, heartache, and heartbreak. Now, I'm not speaking of death notices of friends and family members, which are plenty in my feed, learning that a friend or family member has passed away. I'm not speaking of those death notices being the source of the heartbreak, the heartburn, and the heartache. I'm talking a way that Facebook and other social media platforms have been used as weapons of mass destruction of relationships. These platforms have become the primary source of hurtful rhetoric, vitriolic messages, the airing of grievances, and the stage of some of the most outright, nasty, and hurtful interactions I have ever seen. All the while, this behavior is exposing humanity's relationship conundrum. This should concern us, the people of God. Relationship is a word and theme that has an extensive presence throughout the biblical narrative. Some might even argue that the story of God is about God's relationship with humans and humans' relationship with one another. And as we survey our current predicament in the world, we find ourselves in a quandary of sorts as divorces are on the rise. Over the past 2 months, I have met with several couples who are either in the midst of divorce or just recently divorced or about to head toward that finality. This conundrum that we find ourselves in, we see divorces on the rise. War has become the norm. My kids have only known war. Ever since they have been on this earth, this country has been in war with what's some, that's all they know is war. War has become the norm. Political rivalry has become an obsession. I know I talk a lot about that, but the way that we have divided ourselves on political lines and the way that it digs deep, deep into the soul of humanity, it has become an obsession. And unrest in our communities, it is at an all-time high. I believe that the city of Columbus, we just surpassed the century mark in terms of murders. That's community unrest. Like the fact that young folks have gotten to a point that in relationships, that in order to solve a dispute, I need to shoot somebody. The people of God ought to be concerned with this relationship quandary that we find ourselves in. If someone were to ask me, what is the status of relationships in our world? I would respond with, it's complicated. This is the title of the new series that we're going to be running through the rest of this month and through August. In this series, we will consider God's insistence on establishing, building, maintaining, rebuilding, and growing relationships. Additionally, while we will explore the challenges and complications of relationships that I would argue has been really altered through media, social media, and all other types of mediums, we are going to explore some redemptive strategies to promote better relationships across the relationship spectrum. Let's start with scripture. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. It's always good to start in Genesis. I keep coming back to Genesis. I think Genesis holds the key of understanding of who we are, where we come from, why we are, who we are. And I always believe it's important to start and to revisit creation because I believe that it's in creation that we first learn of the context of God and the context in which he wants us to live in. Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse number 24, says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree that the seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was the evening, and there was the morning, the sixth day. That's verse number 31. What better place to start than in the beginning with God? And in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it and on it and above it and beneath it, in the beginning, God, who existed before all things, spoke the world into existence. He created the skies and he created the waters. He created vegetation. He created the birds in the air. He created the fish in the sea. He also created beasts that would roam on land. But at the top of God's creative masterpiece was humans, people, us, you, me. Now, how do we know that humans were the highlight of God's creation? Well, a couple of things. On one day after he creates the earth and causes it to bring forth vegetation, God looks at what he creates and he says it was good. And God does this day after day until he gets to the creation of humans on the sixth day. After he creates humans, the text says, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Very good. Not just good, but very good. The other reason I believe that humans was the pinnacle highlight of God's creation is that attention given to the creation of human that was not given to the other created things. Excuse me. Now, I have made this point over and over and over and over and over and over again. You might get sick of me saying this. But in Genesis chapter 1, in verse number 26, a unique deviance from the creation story, the creation liturgy. I believe that chapter 1 was actually a song that the ancient Jews used to sing and worship, and they memorized it as the creation story. But in verse number 26, note that it says, then God said, and I underline and put this in yellow, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Do you see the plural there? This is not God saying, let me make humans in my... He says, let us make humans in our image. Humans were created out of a context of relationship. Humans were created out of a context of relationship into a context of relationship. And humans were intended to exist and live together. Let us make humans in our image and let them have dominion over the earth. They were to live and exist together. There is no escaping this truth. The bulk of God's activity and interactions with human is relational or covenantal. That is the idea that conveys togetherness. To read the narrative of God in the Bible is to read a story of God's proactive pursuit of relationship with humans. Thus, we see the Lord speaking audaciously about his desire to be connected to people in relationship. Consider the instances of the Lord declaring his intent for relationship with humans. Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 7. I will take you as my people and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from the burdens of Egyptians. My people, I will be your God. Relationship. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 22. And you shall be my people and I will be your God. Relationship, covenant. John chapter 14, verse number 18, this is Jesus speaking. I will not leave you orphan. I am coming to you in a little while. The world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Relationship. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Relationship. The above speaks of relationship between God and humans, but the biblical narrative is also a treatise of the import of relationship between humans. Consider this sampling from scripture. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. Then the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. Relationship. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Relationship. Psalm 133 in verse number 1. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Relationship. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Relationship. Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Relationship. John chapter 13, verse number 34, this is Jesus speaking. I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. Getting a picture here? Relationship. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other as indeed you are doing. Relationship, human to human. Relationship, God to human, human to God, and human to human. That is the biblical narrative. The Bible covers a wide spectrum of relationships, from married couples to siblings to parents and children to friendships to relationships between workers and employers, relationships with your country, your government. Relationship, relationship, relationship. God intends for the people of God to be informed on these matters. No greater time in our history is there than this for a call for us to be reminded of the relational thrust of God's work on this earth. Now, I am not naive in thinking that a sermon series will fix all the relational problems of the world or even all the relational problems that are at present right here in this church, in some of your relationships. I'm not naive in thinking that a few messages from the pulpit is going to solve all those problems. I am hopeful that we as the body of Christ can reinvigorate the plethora of relationships that have been damaged by things like social media and politics and religious indifference and just plain meanness. You know, it's so easy to be mean, so easy to be indifferent, so easy to be intolerant and dismissive. We were talking about this in a group the other night, and you know, people make money off of us disagreeing with each other. They make money when we disagree, because for whatever reason, it generates interest. It generates dollars. People have a vetted and financial interest in us being divided. And we keep time after time playing right into the hands of those that divide for their financial gain. It's so easy to be mean. It's so easy to be indifferent. It takes a little more effort to be intentionally resonant with God's ideals about relationships. It's important that we become more in tune with God's ideas about relationship, because I want you to hear this, church. We are losing an entire generation of young people, young adults, millennials, Gen Z, whatever you want to call them. We are losing them. They don't want to have anything to do with church. And if you do the research, if you ask them why, if you boil all the answers down to why they don't want to be a part of us, it's because we stink at relationships. It's because we do relationship wrong. It's because we're not feeding off of what God has called us to do with relationship. Young people are walking away from church. And the primary reason is not that they have an appetite for the unholy. That's what we want to accuse them. Oh, they just don't want to be a part of God. That's not the reason. They have witnessed the unholy amongst older people, particularly in the way we speak to each other, the way we treat one another, the way we interact with folks with whom we disagree. And when they see those interactions in our relationships, they say, I want no part of that. You see, there is a way that we can be disagreeable without being horrible to one another. We're going to talk about that. So we're going to explore relationships in a time where when we are asked to describe the state of our current relationships, we respond with, well, it's complicated. Church, the only one I know who was able to bring order and peace and resolution to the complications in our lives and in our relationships, the only one I know that has the power to do that is God. You see, in my lifetime, I have witnessed God bring resolution to conflicts in homes and churches and families and in communities. In my lifetime, I have witnessed men and women of different backgrounds working together for the common good, and it was God that brought them together. In my lifetime, I have watched God use relationships as the source of healing for the brokenhearted. In my lifetime, I have seen God use relationships as the remedy for the lost, the last, the least, the lonely, and the left out. In my lifetime, I would love for us to reverse the troubling trend of relationship misery and turn it into relational bliss, relational opportunities that reverberate the tone of God's creation when he said, let us make humans in our image. You see, that was a beautiful thing. I believe that relationships can be a beautiful thing. As we progress through this series, I want you to take note of the sermon titles as they are the titles of some popular songs. I want us to create a playlist of songs that speak to the relational quandary we find ourselves in the year 2021. You'll hear song titles like Lean On Me, and you'll hear sermon titles like That's What Friends Are For, and you'll hear sermon titles like Ebony and Ivory. We're going to talk about race during this sermon series. Today's song is a song we will be singing as the invitation song, a song called Beautiful Things. It's a worship song we have been singing here for years. It conveys this message that God has created beautiful things. It is true, God's beauty was corrupted when humans sinned against God, but it's also true that God can make new that which was corrupted, because he makes beautiful things. Now, with all the ugliness in the world right now, what are you and I bringing to the world? Are we adding to the ugliness with our Facebook posts, with our ridiculous vitriolic arguments that we have on Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever social medium we use? Or are we making beautiful things? With the mass exodus of young folks from church, are we the reason they leave, or are we the reason they stay? When you ask folks, you know, why they left, I was visiting a friend on vacation, and I was asking him about some church members that I remember meeting when I was visiting before, and said, hey, whatever happened to that couple? Oh, yeah, they don't come to church anymore. Why did they stop coming? He said, oh, because of these two people. Oh. Hey, remember that one couple? Yeah, what happened to them? Yeah, they don't come to church anymore. Why don't they come to church anymore? Because of these, the same two people. Oh. Hey, remember that tall dude I met that time? He used to lead singer. Hey, yeah, he doesn't come to church anymore. What happened to him? These two people. Do you want to be the person that represents the reason why someone doesn't come to church? When I read the story of Jesus, what's so interesting about the story of Jesus is that Jesus was a hard teacher. Like he spoke the truth. But people were constantly coming to Jesus. They weren't running away from Jesus. They were coming to Jesus. And if we are called to be like Jesus, it would seem that people would come to us, not try to get away from us. But the reason why some folks are trying to get away from us is because we stink at relationships. As families continue to be at war with one another, will we be instruments of peace or added weapons for battle? With all the nastiness on social media, will your presence on social media be a refreshing addition, or will you fall prey to the reigning unkindness that is so pervasive on the platforms? Those are some of the questions that I think we need to pursue during this series and through conversation. What I would say is that today we start by adding this song to our playlist, Beautiful Things. This song about creation, this song about the mystery and the beauty of God making this earth and making us out of dust to do beautiful things. And yes, it's true that in so many ways we've been corrupted and we've been overcome with the prevailing attitudes of just indifference and nastiness and sin. But even with that, God has the power to transform it into beautiful things. God has created us beautiful things, to be beautiful things and to do beautiful things. As we sing this song of invitation, I pray that it would resonate with our hearts and that it would seek to lift us out of this relationship conundrum that we find ourselves in 2021. As I said a moment ago, it's so easy to be mean. It's so easy to highlight what I don't like about other people. I think I shared this in the past. I shared it in this group this past week. You know, I pull up and I go to Kroger and I get out of my car, and right next to me, there is a bag, like a Wendy's bag. Someone like got a value meal, burger and fries, and they put their trash in the parking lot. Now, my mind is, you know, I'm simple-minded. I'm not that bright. But it just seems to me that if someone pulls into the parking lot to go to the grocery store and they're going to the store, like outside of every grocery store I've ever been in, there's a trash can. And it would seem that they could just take their trash, rather than just putting it on the ground next to the car, they can just take it. Am I out of sorts here? Am I wacky here? They can just take the trash and put it in the trash can by the door, right? And they don't do that. Now here's the deal. I could spend 5 minutes in my car and I could come up with all types of names for these people that didn't put the trash away. I could do that. Or I just pick up the trash and take it to the trash can. It's just easier for me to just spurt out insult after insult. Just people that I just can't stand these people. Or I can just pick up the trash. Because God created beautiful things to do beautiful things. Maybe one of the beautiful things is to just throw trash away. Set an example. Maybe there's someone watching me from a car, seeing that that wasn't my trash, and they witness me take someone else's trash and put it in the trash can. And maybe next time when they come to the grocery store and they see trash, they put trash away. What if over the next several weeks we come up with ways to beautify this world and not add to its ugliness? What if we find ways to put aside the ugliness, the nastiness, the vitriol, the arguments over who you voted for, and seek to do some beauty? What if we put aside our religious differences for just a moment? We can still have our religious differences. We can still argue for our religious differences. But maybe bigger than some of our religious differences is doing some common good. Because guess what? Those kids that's killing each other with guns in Columbus don't care what church I go to. But they need someone to care. Maybe if our churches work more together to influence these young minds, these young souls, we do more than arguing about whose church is better. As we sing this song, add this song to your playlist, Beautiful Things. May God just overwhelm us with this Holy Spirit to reclaim his intentions for creation, to make beautiful things, to be beautiful things, to do beautiful things, to spread beautiful things. If while we're singing this song, there's a need that you have, you want to share with the church, I invite you to come forward. If you're online, and invite you to share that with the host, and we'll make sure that we get that message prayed for. Even in real time, as we're here, we'll pray for that. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you right now you want to become God's new creation by expressing your faith in him, being baptized into Jesus Christ, and becoming this beautiful new creature, created to do beautiful things. You can do that as we sing together. Let's sing a song together.